and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not claim to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with two of my favorite people, Tshepiso Madihlaba and Sibo Hlatshwayo. I know some of you who are on Facebook, you definitely know Sibo. And maybe not so much Tshepiso because she is not a Facebooker per se. She's not a social media person per se. But these two ladies are special to me for a number of reasons. One, they are my first, they form part of my first ever school group, the first group of Stretch School. Back in 2017, when I decided, you know what, I am teaching anyway. I am sharing some of my old knowledge, some of the 200 odd books that I've been reading over the years. I'm sharing and I'm imparting some knowledge. I might as well create a group and charge for it. And Tshepiso and Sibo were part of the very first group that joined. They have both become more than students, more than friends. I think they're sisters now, which is quite unique to the group of 2017. A lot of the students that I now call friends, and they're not many, you know, it's a handful, come from the era of the 2017. I've subsequently had students, obviously, in 2018, 2019, 2020, class of 2021. They aren't, none of them come close to the friendship that I subsequently formed with some of the students that I created in 2017. So they are special for that reason. Tshepiso is extra special. Not that you are not, Sibo, I'm coming to you. Tshepiso is extra special because, you know, one of the things we used to speak about with Tshepiso, she's a very affirming person. Tshepiso once said that she was attending Michelle Obama's book launch, you know, becoming, Michelle was touring the U.S. and obviously Michelle originally comes from Chicago, downtown, Southside Chicago. So obviously she had to launch the book in Chicago and Oprah was interviewing her. You'll also recall that Oprah did her entire 25 years of the Oprah show in Chicago. And Tshepiso happened to be in the audience listening to Michelle Obama and Oprah. And she said to me, you know, Lebo, as I was watching them and listening to them, you flashed in my mind. And I remember a thought saying you actually belong in such stages. And, we spoke and, you know, we talk shopped. And I remember also saying to her that I am going to come to the U.S. And the first stop when I visit the U.S. is you. Lo and behold, this year I went to the U.S. for the first time. And guess what state? Chicago. And guess who hosted me my first night? Tshepiso. I will read her bio just now. I just wanted to emphasize the extra specialness of how I know this person. But over and above that, stretcher through and through. And you will hear in the conversation that these are very stretched women, very liberated, which I'm in a way trying to sell stretch to you. Those of you who still think, are we digging wounds? No, we are not. We're doing far more than that. Sibo is, oh my God, Sibo is the only person who calls me fairy godmother. If you follow me on Facebook and you follow some of the people who comment, whenever she comments, she's the one that starts with fairy godmother. And one person once asked, why does this woman call you fairy godmother? You know, it's so weird. And it seems like she's the only one. So back in 2015, before I started Stretch, I used to get a lot of people inboxing me looking for relationships. You know, for whatever reason, I seemed like I could matchmake. And not that I seemed like I could matchmake. I created such an interesting platform on my Facebook personal wall. Such interesting engagement, such that a lot of people from diverse groups would gather and comment. And there was a lot of men. There'd be posts that I would just be conversing with men only, posts that I know women won't enter. And then there'd be posts where women will only be the ones commenting. And then there'd be a mixture because, you know, I am diverse like that. You can throw me into a political conversation, whether local or global, I'm there. We can do spiritual, we can do social, we can do pop culture, we can do psycho-spiritual. We can do any, so I used to just, you can do entrepreneurship. Just last week I had Toivo talking about entrepreneurship. So the diversity of the host or of that wall made people think, this one can get us boyfriends. Sibo happened to be one of those people who were like, no, open a group for us because tina sfunum jolo. And I started a group, and I don't want to prolong this, maybe topic for another day really. But I created a group called Soul Blaze, and the whole idea was that it will one day turn into a dating app. And for reasons I cannot share now, it dawned on me how intensely complicated and unnecessarily stressful a dating app was going to bring me. And my heart wanted to rather create Stretch. So the fairy godmother name came from a fairy godmother who's going to bring us guys. I know. Okay, so that's why these women are so special to me. And they have, as I said earlier, become more than just friends. They are literally sisters. When I visit London, the first point of call, the first house I'm going to sleep in, it's going to be Sibo's home. Now, let me read their bio. Sibo sent a very long thing, and I was laughing when I saw this, and I'm like, you know, she thinks in December, in the heat waves, I'm going to be reading this long thing. I won't read the whole thing. I'm going to read the part that's relevant to today's conversation. The bio is there on the show notes. If you're interested, you can read all of it. It reads like she's a very expressive woman, so she's just sharing who she is. Okay. I have been a radiographer for 23 years and have enjoyed my career both in SA and UK. The most fulfilling part of this is seeing my patients walk away with a bit of hope. As I get older, I'm more passionate about personal development and spiritual growth. I love referring to myself as Umntwana Wethonga as I walk with who came before me. Okay, so that is Sibo's bio. I'm going to quickly now read Tsepiso's one, which is on a different page. If you could just bear with me. It's kind of short. Okay, Tsepiso Madihlaba was born and raised in Limpopo, South Africa. She studied medicine at the University of Cape Town and qualified as a medical doctor. In addition, she holds an executive MBA, Quantic School of Business and Technology, Washington, D.C., USA. Tsepiso currently lives in Chicago, USA with two wonderful children, and I have met her wonderful children, and works as a medical director for a multinational pharmaceutical company. Tsepiso counts writing as one of her passions and has been in love with it since her childhood. She is working on her first novel, Maserati, an engaging read for contemporary audience, expected to launch in early 24. Yes, she is writing a romantic novel. Stay tuned, because she is going to come back on the podcast specifically talking about that as soon as it is launched. So I actually cannot wait to share that aspect of her with you. Now, the conversation is about living abroad. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but a lot of people are leaving. A lot of people are leaving. The thought has not only crossed my mind, it's now sort of circling in my mind. The idea of, hey, maybe I could, if I could move from Joburg to a small town and really feel like, hey man, I'm fine, I could leave and the entire continent, or I could leave the country and maybe move up to Rwanda. Rwanda has been very, very much in my heart. Kenya is another one that really speaks to my heart. But also the US, you know, the first world countries are quite appealing. And I have a lot of friends who have moved, who are moving. Some are very famous people, some not so much. But the whole move is obviously what they call a brain drain, where it's your professionals, people who are very skilled, people who are very knowledgeable, people who are kind of wealthy, upper middle class who are leaving. And but not only those, there's also young people living who are becoming au pairs. There's a young lady who's an au pair I met when I was in Chicago. I've been trying to get her on the podcast, maybe one day, maybe next year, so we can talk about this growing trend of being an au pair in another country. Anyway, as you can hear, this intro can actually go way, way too long. It's already on minute 11. Let me wrap it up and say, we talk about the dynamics of leaving South Africa and living in the US. Everything you can think about, we cover in this conversation. We laugh, there's eye-opening moments. They basically let you in on the reality, not the glam and the glitz that you see on Instagram. There's the reality of, listen, I'm not home. I am somewhere else and I need to make the best out of it. There's the good that is very, very good, because it is first world countries. Sibo is in the UK. She lives in central London. And Tsepiso is in the US. She lives in Chicago, one of the biggest cities in the US. So they're not in the outskirts of these countries. So you really want to hear if the idea of leaving the country has been crossing your mind and circling your mind, or you are just interested in how people actually navigate when they've left their home base. You're going to love it. You're going to laugh. You're going to get a lot of aha moments. And I hope after listening to this, you are going to join Stretch School and become, you know, and understand that, you know, you can be anybody. I mean, Sepiso ke doctor, Sibo ke radiographer, they're in the medical field, and they are my students. And then I have other students who, one of them is a cashier. You know, it's diverse space to be at Stretch. So don't think, yo, I have to be up there to be a student. No, you can be a supervisor, you can be whatever. But you do want to join Stretch, especially if you want to be coached by me one day. Anyway, kyabalabala. I do that when I'm tired, by the way. I balabal. Let me give you the conversation with Sibo and Tsepiso. Sibo and Tsepiso, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast. I am so, so excited. So welcome to the Stretch Podcast. Legai, how are you?
Awesome.
How are you, Tsepiso? Okay, let me start.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. So everyone is waiting for everyone. How are you, Tsepiso? And then I'll come to you, Sibo.
I am doing great. I'm doing great and I'm excited. It's an exciting topic. So I'm just excited to see where the conversation goes.
Okay, Sibo.
I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you for thinking of us. I'm looking forward to sharing this time with Tsepiso as well.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. All right, maybe let's start with who you are. Let's start with who you are and what you do. Tsepiso, I'll start with you and then I'll come to you, Sibo. Tsepiso, you are in the US right now. So do you want to just share briefly what you do?
Yeah.
And who you are, really?
Yes. Kinatabiso Madihlaba, born and bred in Limpopo, South Africa. So I spent my formative years in Limpopo and moved to Cape Town for universities. I live now in Chicago for the last 5 years, and it's been a 5 years, actually six. Oh my goodness, it's been 6 years, October this year. And I'm a mom of two, the eldest of three siblings. What else?
Before you talk, how can you just miss the fact that you are a doctor by profession?
You know, you know why? You know, like, I think because I'm also already preempting it, because I saw there is a question about why did you move to the,
yes,
you know, that speaks to my career. Then I'll probably get into, you know, what I do, and that will come later. But yes, I am a medical doctor by profession, and that is the reason why I'm also in the US, and we'll speak a little bit about that, I guess, later.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Sibo.
I'm Sibo Hlajwayo. I'm from Ladysmith, KZN. Naturally, as a Zulu person, I was educated in KZN as well. And the first time I left the country, or even the province, was the first time I came to London, and that was 2003, so 20 years ago. And I've been here ever since.
Wow.
I fell in love with London, and it loves me back.
I had no idea it was that long.
Well, there's a backstory, because by the time I joined Stretch, now I took a break, went back home when I felt pregnant, because I knew it was going to be easier for me financially, because I'm a mom to a 10-year-old daughter, and I'm a single mom. So I took a break just 2013 to 2016 to give birth, stay there for 3 years, come back at four when she was about to start school.
Yes.
Financially, it made sense. I could stay in the house, have a nanny, whereas here, that would cost me an arm and a leg.
You see, you went ahead, which is fine. We will you are the feminine version of this conversation. Utsepiso is very masculine. She wants to follow the process, which is absolutely amazing. So it's cool. So maybe, Utsepiso, you might want to share also why and when did you move to the US and why?
So I moved to the US October of 2017. So 6 years ago, time flies. So the reason I moved because of my career. So I work for a multinational pharmaceutical company that is headquartered here in Chicago in the US. And I worked for their South African affiliate when I was in South Africa, when I lived in Johannesburg. And I had been with them in South Africa for about 6 years. When a conversation with my manager that started actually in 2014 regarding, you know, the potential to move to headquarters. In 2014, like everything else in life, when you're not ready, like when, you know, no matter how wonderful and how great an opportunity may sound, if your soul is not ready, it's just, you know, it just didn't speak to me. And like, I remember sharing with a friend, and they're like, America, and you said no. And I was like, it's like, I love home. Like, what is it for America? I mean, I used to visit the US because of my job. Like I would come maybe like twice or 3 years. So there wasn't like a fascination or the strong urge to move. And I think mostly because my soul was just not ready. It just didn't resonate with me. And then cut to 3 years later, 2017, January. It was just after like New Year's. I'm minding my business and my home in Johannesburg, and I get a call from my manager. He's like, hey, again, you know, I think you should come here. Like, I think for your career, you've done everything that you can do in Africa. Like, you should really think strongly about moving to headquarters. And we didn't have to have a long conversation. For some reason, it just, like, the minute he opened his mouth, I was like, yeah, where do I sign?
Fascinating, the whole timing thing. Me too. I really love that.
I love that. Because when you say when your soul was not ready, because I remember when I was talking about going overseas, one of my cousin brothers was like, you keep telling us you're going to go. Why haven't you gone? Because I was just talking about what are you waiting for? At that time, I didn't have a kid or a boyfriend. I was like, yeah, what am I waiting for? So at that time, then the soul was ready. I was like, okay, yeah, it's time to go now.
Mm-hmm. And why did you go? It wasn't obviously, was it also linked to a company or you went?
It's funny. 20 years later, my sister only asked me this question on Sunday. In high school, I had a maths teacher who had traveled and lived in London. So during maths lesson, she used to go on about living in London, riding a bike around the city. And as a girl from Ladysmith in a small town, I just could not imagine a woman on a bike, you know, a teacher out of all people.
Yeah.
And then we used to use this tool when we want to distract her for a break. Mommy, well, how was London? And she'll go on and on how she traveled. She didn't have kids. So the seed was planted there as a kid from Ladysmith, thinking also the world is bigger than Ladysmith, KZN. And then when I did radiography, and then there were lots of people moving abroad with, I think, any healthcare professionals, it was easier. Suddenly I was like, I'm going to London. I want to see that area where my teacher used to ride around the bike and
wow,
do
this what a beautiful story.
Travel the world. And she was very big on like, oh yeah, I didn't have a chance to have kids because I was just wanted to travel the world. Again, there are people who choose not to have kids, just travel the world. Everybody has a kid. So it was those little things. And then what encouraged me was the fact that I knew it will take my family to the next level out of poverty. Yeah. Me, a fast track out of black tax for myself. I knew it would have that purpose. I thought I'll go for 2 years, but 20 years later, I'm like, no, this is
home. This is home. And that's my next question, especially to you, Tsepiso, because it's so fascinating how time flies. You know, remember you moved to the US, and not that it's a big move or anything. I moved to the Karoo the same year. And and I am so surprised at how fast time is going. And I remember saying to one of my kids, to Tsolokor, you know what, Gauteng can just forget about me. I think I'm going to find my roots here in the Western Cape. It might not be Beaufort West. I know it won't be Beaufort West, but it will be deeper in the Karoo. People don't even know that George is the Karoo, for an example, closer to the coast and all that. And does it, and for me, the Western Cape feels like home already. Does it feel like home yet? For you?
That is, it has become such a difficult question to answer. It is so layered. And part of it has to do with the passing of my mom. My mother passed away in 2020. And suddenly the question around what is home kind of hit me then. Like, where do I now call home? And home is, of course, like, you know, where I grew up. Home is where my roots are, home is where my extended family is. But I have two kids that live here in the US with me. So is home where they are, or is home where my mom raised me? And so it's just been such an interesting question, like, lately. But before she passed, home was home. Home was back in South Africa, back in Limpopo, and without a shadow of doubt. And it used to create such a lot of confusion, especially for my little one. My daughter is 11 years now. When we first moved, she was 5. So from the time she turned 10, actually from now on, she's gonna have, her life is gonna be more American than it is South African. Like, you know, because she's kind of reached that threshold. You know, she's the first 5 years of her life in South Africa, and the next 5 in the US, and going forward more American than South African. And I know, like, every time I would say home, she would think our house where we live now.
Yeah,
she wouldn't connect home with South Africa, and it would create such confusion, because I would say home and, like, very innocently, and she would look at me like, your mother is not here. Like, I don't understand what you mean. And and I had to explain South Africa. So does it feel like home? It's beginning to. There are things that are very much different to South Africa. There are, you know, things like the food we eat, things like how we live, where we live. There are like differences, and there are also some differences that are very much nuanced. It's a feeling. It's a, you know, it's not something that you can touch. It's just a feeling. So it's becoming home. And I think part of it is it's becoming home because I can see it's home for my children.
See, but you want to weigh in on that, because I have a point I want to add, especially around the passing of the mom, because
you say that, because when we were home in South Africa for 3 weeks, my kid, it's like after 2 weeks, she was done with that holiday. Mommy, I want to go home. As you said, home for her is London. Mommy, I want to go home. And I had stretched the holiday that we came back a day before she could start school. And she's like, I don't like this. I didn't have time home before school. Then I had to break it down. I was like, for you, you live with your mother. I see my mother once a year. So I need to stretch it with my mother. I know it's not home for you. So and the minute you said that, I realized that, as you say, suddenly London is home because it's home for my kid. I have to make it a home for her, just as my mother made a home for me.
That is so fascinating.
It's just that one thing you're like, no, suddenly I'm an adult.
Yeah,
my mom's done her part for me. I need to honor this little person. This is home. So I took that down, that next time I'm going to make sure we don't come back straight to go to school. Give us some time to settle
to be home.
To be home.
That is, I mean, obviously, okay, guys. And I'm just in South Africa. But to your point, Tsepiso, when my mom died, and then subsequently a few months later, my dad passed away, the Western Cape became home. So there's something about mothers, because you'll remember also, if you recall, I used to frequent home a lot. I had moved here, but I was always in Joburg, up and down. And the parents passed away, and I feel lost. And the Western Cape is home for Dawn, to a point where his accent is very Afrikaans. Now that he's even in boarding school, he prats, he speaks Xhosa. He doesn't speak Setswana, he doesn't speak Zulu anymore. So he Afrikaans, English, and Xhosa. Setswana and Zulu boy. It's just, it is an incredible thing, this thing of home and where the home is. I'm going to write a newsletter around this. So thank you for that point. But it is slowly starting to feel like home. And I love also the fact that it's nuances. It's not... I feel like it's home because I can touch and feel this. This tiny little things. And I know what you mean. Unfortunately, because there are new ones, we can't really explain them. Anyway, now, the cost of living. And I'm going to ask a question that is so dumb. But because you guys live abroad, I know you'll get me. When I have 100 rand, I know what it's 100 rand. And I know what 100 rand can get me. When you have $100, don't convert it, please. And okay. I know you won't, because I know you won't. $100 to you is $100. It's not 1,000 rands. You don't use it in rand cents. And £100 is £100, right, Sibo?
Yes.
What does it get you? Let's assume that 100, 100, 100. What does it get you, £100? And what does $100 get you? Understand alone. But South Africa, understanding.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. So I think when I first got here, I couldn't help myself. I converted everything. And so a trip to the grocery store, like to buy bread, a trip that should take me 10 minutes would take me an hour because keep easy. I'm like, what? Like, why am I buying borota by 50 rand? Like, what am I doing? You know? And
no,
I will.
No, I had to stop, rand. But
it took me $4. A while. Yeah. It took me like 6 months. Mm. I mean, I used to have my phone out just to calculate. Okay, I bought this. How much does this cost? If I was a Pick and Pay, what would this look like? And it was just not conducive to a good life and a peaceful life for me here. So I had to stop But you go through that. You have to go through baptism by fire. You go through that, and eventually you let go. So what does $100 get for me? Here in the US, it gets me. It gets me enough groceries, I think, like basics, you know, for like a week, you know, like really, really basic bread, milk, and eggs, and, you know, and maybe like a few things here and there, cereal for the week, for the three of us. So, and then I love shoes. So it depending where I get my shoes, it might get me like a pair. Or
yeah, I mean my mind is cray cray, because to me I'm not looking at the currency, I'm looking at the actual 100 rand.
Well, it gets me a lot because I buy food shopping every other week because it's the two of us though, so it gets me a proper grocery for 2 weeks. Scuffed in. Well, because I just looked when you were asking Tsepi, so I looked at my delivery for last week, which was £110. And so it was the other week. I didn't do it this week. It skipped a week. So it gets me enough fruits, veggies, meat.
Yeah.
But for two people.
Yes, I get it. Yeah. For two people. Yeah.
For two people. Yeah. But yes, it wouldn't get me a handbag. I love handbags. It won't get me a nice pair of boots because I don't go extra for things like that. But if somebody was more on it, like, I don't care, they could get a nice pair of boots and a handbag. Yeah. But definitely me.
I see. So what is expensive then? Like what would you consider? Okay, the cost of living is high because this is expensive. Sibo, I know a few weeks ago we spoke about accommodation, like rent is very, very high. What else is expensive if you compare it to here back home?
Rent, yes, is expensive for a two-bedroom flat. I'm going to pay £1,500. But then I live in central London. Somebody who's on the outskirts might pay a bit cheaper. But accessibility to all the other things that comes with living in central London. Then I can walk to work, so I don't have to pay for transport. Transport can be expensive. A train can be expensive. Some people can pay about £30 a trip to work. If I'm in a bus, I pay £1.70. That's another thing. That's cheap. If I'm in London using a bus to work, that's £1.70. So if you're trying to say £1.50, £1.70, you see.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That's very interesting because I thought transport was overall across the board cheap. So I didn't know which bus is cheaper than
this is another thing. Like my kid, because she's 10, she travels for free. People who are 60 years old travel for free.
Okay. That's fascinating.
Yeah, so those little things add up. Then I don't have to budget for a transport.
Interesting. So what's expensive in Chicago? I mean, before you even answer, for you, Sibo, and for the listeners. So I was in Chicago, and the first night I was hosted by beautiful Sepiso in her beautiful home. If you've ever watched Desperate Housewives, like that set of Desperate Housewives is based on reality. Sepiso lives in a place like that. The lawn. Remember, Sepiso, how I keep touching flowers and plants because I thought they were plastic. They're real. Like, why are they like that?
Is that distinction of living in the city versus living in the suburbs, right? So what's expensive for me, I would say, the things that we take for granted at home, for me, especially when you have children. So that was the first thing that was like, whoa, childcare. I remember I did attempt to bring my nanny from home when I first moved here.
I remember.
And the embassy was like, what? No, you know. And so my children were 5 and 10 when I first moved. I'm a single parent. And I have a demanding job, and I have all kinds of meetings at all kinds of hours in the day. And so I looked for a nanny the first time I got here, and the cost of paying a full-time nanny was almost half of my salary, if not. And so, I mean, when I convert, I used to
believe it. Yeah.
If you convert to South African rents at the time, I mean, I would have been paying this person an equivalent of what probably a middle manager gets in South Africa, you know?
Wow. And we know more or less.
Yeah.
What that and, is. Yeah.
But eventually, I think for the first few months, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna do this. But like everything in life, there's a, you know, there's the opportunity cost. What am I giving up by not getting a nanny? And one of the things, especially when you first moved to headquarters, and the reason you moved is we recognized you as talent, we recognized you as someone who has an opportunity to grow even further. You won't grow in South Africa, come to headquarters, because there are opportunities for you to grow. So there is that sort of almost an unspoken pressure on myself to perform and show them that they didn't make a mistake by opening up this opportunity. So I'm not calling in and say I can't make that 7 a.m. meeting because I have a 5-year-old who I need to prepare for school, right? So I did try to juggle my life somewhat at the beginning, and it was to my detriment, I think, to my sanity, physical, spiritual, mental, and otherwise. And so I eventually relented and got a full-time nanny, and just made peace with the fact that she's just, I get paid and I pay her. I give her my money. And
oh my God.
And so we had to be comfortable with like just living very basic, like as long as I can buy grocery, as long as I can. But the opportunity that came with having a nanny was I was now free, you know, to pursue and to flourish at work. But also my children did not have this high strung person. Like everything wasn't like, yay, like move, do, you know? So it brought so much stability and peace in our household. My children, and my nanny was like a godsend. So the other thing that's very interesting here is a nanny is exactly that. They're about childcare. They're not about cleaning your home. They're not about cooking for you. They're not about, you know, they're just there to do the rearing of the children, and that's it. And so if you want someone to clean your house, you gotta pay extra. You know, or bring someone.
She's laughing so hard.
And like so I think she recognized my nanny at the time. She recognized just, you know, and she stepped in for me in a lot of ways. She was my PA. She took care of the kids' school schedules, and you know, and she would help clean my house. And
well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek podcast for 99 rand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says subscribe to the Stretch podcast, and then you will get all the episode in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.